Let's read the first seven verses of 2 Kings chapter 6. Here we read about another miracle in the life and ministry of Elisha, the miracle of the floating axe head. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 1. And the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, "See now, the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. Please let us go to the Jordan, and let every man take a beam from there, and let us make there a place where we may dwell." And he answered, "Go." Then one said, "Please consent to go with your servants." And he answered, "I will go." So he went with them. And when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water, and he cried out and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." And the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" And he showed him the place. So he cut off a stick and threw it in there, and he made the iron float. Therefore he said, "Pick it up for yourself." So he reached out his hand and took it. All right, once again, some background notes. Where you read about the sons of the prophets, these would be the seminary students of the day or the Bible school students of the day. And there were several of these schools of the prophets around, different locations. And Elisha would travel around and minister to them. And apparently the group that we see here, 2 Kings chapter 6, is the one at Jericho, because the Jordan's right nearby, and Elisha is with them at this time. The Jericho school of the prophets was growing because of the effectiveness of Elisha's ministry, and they needed to expand. They had cramped quarters. Well, the Jericho school of the prophets decide to expand by building new quarters down by the Jordan River. Elisha approves the plans, and he actually goes with them. But while they are cutting down trees, the axe head of one of the prophets flies off the handle and sinks in the Jordan River. And guess what? It was borrowed, as you can see there in verse 5. And, of course, a little background here, iron axe heads were very costly tools in that day. Now, you might expect when a bunch of theological students and their professors get together and try to do some manual labor, like building a new facility, you might expect something like this to happen. Theological people are not known for their expertise in tools or the use of tools. Now, one more background note. In verse 6, when you have this miracle take place, the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" He showed him the place, and Elisha cuts off a stick and threw it in there. He made the iron float. Now, this is no trick, all right? And Elisha is not cutting a stick and fishing the axe head out, you know, seeing it down there, fishing it out, kind of like you would retrieve a golf ball that's dropped into water or something like that with one of those retrievers. No, this is a miracle, all right? Now let's move to doctrinal points from this passage. Doctrinal point number one, God cares about the needs of his working people. God cares about the needs of his working people. The school of the prophets at Jericho was expanding. They needed more room. Did God care about this need? Of course he did. The fact that God's spokesman, Elisha, approves the project and goes with them is an indication that God cared about this need. But notice, God did expect them to work. They weren't just sitting around having a bunch of prayer meetings. They were praying, I'm sure, about this project, about this pressing need. But they were willing to work as well. God cares about our needs too, and we should pray about these needs, and God will answer prayer. But he does expect us to work as well. Right now, I know of a couple of Christians who are out of work, and they have families, and they are praying. Does God care about their needs? Of course he does. And God will meet these needs. He will answer prayer, but he does expect them to be willing to work. And maybe even take a lower paying job or a less prestigious job. Philippians 4:19 says, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." God does care about the needs of his working people. So whether it be personal needs that you may have, and I know some of you are facing certain personal needs, or whether it be family needs, and I know some of you are confronting needs in your family, or needs of your church, or needs of a ministry that you're associated with. God cares about these needs and will meet them. But he does expect his people to be willing to work. working to the best of their ability. God cares about the needs of his working people. Doctrinal point number two. God cares about the axe heads of his willing people. God cares about the axe heads of his willing people. What do we mean by axe heads? We mean the small problems of life, the incidental things, the little problems in life. At least they're little to the onlooker, but they may be very significant to us because sometimes small things are very important, as in this case, the borrowed axe head that's lost. Is God concerned about the little problems that we have? Yes, he is. And I think this miracle proves it. But notice, the man who's lost the axe head wants to do what's right. The axe head was borrowed. And according to God's word, the law, he had to make it good. Exodus 22. Notice the man doesn't say, oh, it wasn't mine. It was only borrowed. We don't have to worry about that. You know, it was part of the ministry. Sound familiar? No, he wants to do what's right. That's what we mean by willing. God cares about the axe heads of his willing people. And being a poor seminary student, you see, maybe if he was wealthy, God wouldn't have done the miracle. You go out and buy another axe head. But being the poor seminary student that he was, Bible school student, the Lord works a miracle, and the axe head is retrieved. But I want you to notice furthermore that Elisha, when he does this miracle and the axe head floats, he doesn't have the axe head jump out of the water back onto the land. He expects the man to retrieve it. Look at verse 7. Therefore he said, pick it up for yourself. So he reached out his hand and took it. God helps those who help themselves. Now that's not a Bible verse, all right? But there is a biblical principle there. God helps those who help themselves. God expects us to be willing to do what we can to recover axe heads. He doesn't do for us what we can do for ourselves. He expects us to be willing, you see. God cares about the axe heads of his willing people. You want to do what's right, and you do what you can. And you can be sure that God will help you, even miraculously answer prayers at times. You have any axe heads in your life right now that need fixing? Some little problems that might be insignificant as far as everybody else is concerned, but they're significant to you, particularly because you want to do what's right. Maybe it's literally something that you borrowed and lost or damaged, and you want to make it right. God cares about the axe heads of his willing people. Now, that's pretty practical, but we can even get a couple of more practical applications from this first part of 2 Kings 6. Practical application number one. Be careful about borrowing stuff. Be careful about borrowing stuff. It's not wrong to borrow. But if you do borrow something, it's to be returned. Undamaged and as good as when it was borrowed. Well, let's say you borrow a book and lose it, or borrow a tool and damage it. What should you do? You replace that borrowed book with a new book, if at all possible. And you pay the repair bill for the damaged tool or the item that you borrowed. Even if the owner says, oh, it's all right, that's okay, forget it. No, biblically, you need to make it right. Let's be careful about borrowing stuff. Practical application number two. Be careful about spiritualization of Scripture. Be careful about spiritualization of Scripture. Now, what do we mean by spiritualization of Scripture? Spiritualization is when you take the items of a biblical text and draw a spiritual picture from them. Now, there is a legitimate spiritualization of Scripture, such as the types of the Old Testament, for example. We spiritualized the axe head in this passage, didn't we? We said the axe head could represent like the small problems in life. That's really spiritualization, drawing a spiritual picture from an item in the text. So it's not wrong to spiritualize, but you got to be careful. You got to be careful about spiritualizing Scripture because you can over-spiritualize. For example, I remember hearing a sermon on this very passage, 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Where Christians were likened to the axe head. And the reason the axe head flew off the handle, dropped into the Jordan River, Because it wasn't sharpened. If the axe had been sharpened, it wouldn't have fallen off. The accident wouldn't have happened. In the same way went the sermon. We as Christians are like that axe head. If we would sharpen ourselves up, study the Bible more, get involved in more ministries, we would be more sharp and these accidents wouldn't happen. However, if they do happen, well, here's the biblical solution. You go to the people of God, the spokespersons for the Lord, like Elisha, see, who know the word, and they can bring restoration into your life. Now, that's not an unbiblical sermon, all right? That's certainly a nice, I hope, practical sermonette. But I think it's over-spiritualization of this passage. Because there's nothing in here about sharpened axe or unsharpened axe. Nothing as to why the axe flew off the handle. So you got to be careful about over-spiritualization. Even when you make a nice sermonette and it's not heretical, it's right in line with the rest of the teaching of the Bible, you got to be careful that you don't over-spiritualize. You get it? Now, I do want to share what I believe may be a definite further spiritual picture in this miracle. Because as we've said before, all the miracles in the Bible, definitely the miracles that we see in the life of Elisha, do have spiritual meaning associated with them. Look at the great picture of salvation that we saw in the healing of Naaman. What's the picture here? Which I don't think is over-spiritualization. I think we may have a spiritual picture here of the Lord's resurrection power at work in our lives. The Jordan River in the Bible is often a picture of death. But we, like the axe head in the Jordan, you see, are dead and cannot do the work of the Lord in our own strength. In fact, we must die to self. But the Lord gives us His power, resurrection power. We are raised from the place of death to walk in newness of life, Romans 6:4. We now can do the Lord's work in His strength. But this is only possible because the Lord Himself went to the place of death for us. And you see, the way Elisha did this miracle was not to snap his fingers or something like that. He cuts off a branch, a living branch, and throws this stick into the water. And that's when the miracle takes place. I believe we may have a picture here in the living branch of Christ. He is the one who went to the place of death for us. And as a result, we are raised to walk in newness of life. We who were dead and we who need to die to self, only can we do the work of the Lord in the right way, not in our own strength, but in His resurrection power. Only can you have that miracle take place in your life if you're willing to die to self and let Christ work through you in His resurrection power. He'll give you the strength. So I don't think this is over-spiritualization. However, the practical application still does stand. You got to be careful about the spiritualization of Scripture. It is possible that you can over-spiritualize. So let's be careful about the spiritualization of Scripture.